chapter 5. John chapter 5. We're going to read from verse 1 through 9. The book of John chapter 5 from verse 1 through 9. And I read, "After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five pouches. In this laid a great multitude of impotent folks, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. An angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water, and whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatever disease that he had." Verse 5, "And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. Verse 6, "When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been there a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole?" Verse 7, "The impotent man answered, Sir, you don't know my story. I have no man. When the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But when I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." Verse 9. "And immediately," everybody say immediately, "the man was made whole, took up his bed and walked. On the same day was Sabbath." Praise the name of the Lord. This morning I want to talk to you about the flow of favor. Everybody say that. The flow of favor. The flow of favor. Bethesda was a place of favor. And at a certain time in the year, one of the many impotent, blind, or sick folks will receive favor. The Bible said, when the pool is stirred, whoever is able to get in first will receive a healing. Now, there was a certain man who had been in the place of favor for 38 years, but did not experience favor. For 38 years, he saw people come and people go, but for him, he did not experience the favor. And the Bible said he was in that case for such a long time. You see, it's one thing to know your problem. It's another thing to know your problem and the problem to be solved. Jesus knew this man's problem. But you know the irony of the matter. How long had this man been in this situation? When Jesus left the earth, how old was Jesus? Before Jesus was born, this guy had a problem. His destiny changer was not born before he got into that problem. But today, our destiny changer is alive. He's alive forevermore. Unlike this man that had to wait long for his destiny helper to be born, to grow up, to go into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, to be ordained of God, and then begin to walk around. You and I have a destiny helper alive already. A destiny changer is alive forevermore. You see, even though this man in the place of favor had his hope limited. And what do I mean by this? For 38 years, he was by himself trying to look for somebody to help him. He could have said, okay, help take me away from here. See, there's no hope. But he still stayed where he was because he still had at least some limited hope that something can change for him. But you know what? Jesus, who was the destiny changer, knew he had been in that case for a long time. His hope was limited, but when the destiny changer came, he broke the limitation of his hope. And his shame and disgrace were ended at an instant. I don't know how long you've been in that situation, and no help has been. I don't know how long you've been praying, and nothing has changed. I don't know how far back in your generation it has been a problem, but today, the destiny changer is here. And the limitation of hope shall be broken, and favor will flow towards you, indeed, in the name of Jesus. If you believe that, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus came at a time when God had appointed for this guy to receive favor. Jesus went straight to him on Sabbath day, like this day that we call our own Sabbath Sunday. He went straight to him and said, do you want to be made whole? Of course, the man had something to say. He said, I've been here for a while. Nobody to help me. Before I jump in, somebody else jumps into it. And Jesus ignored his complaint and his talk. He went straight for what he came for. There's somebody here today. Your complaint has been ignored, and favor is going to overtake you in Jesus' name. This man's shame and disgrace ended. He was returned to live in his own land because that place was not for him. It was just to receive favor and go back to what God created him for. His wealth, I believe, doubled because now he had the strength to do something different. And guess what? The Bible said that when he walked, that guy began to rejoice. His joy was renewed. Your joy will be renewed today in the name of Jesus. You see, your destiny changer is Jesus. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And what he did then, he can do it today. Your destiny in your own sight may be, nothing is going to change. This is all there is for me. But I've come to say to you today, because this is the year of favor, your destiny changer will change that destiny of poverty to destiny of wealth in the name of Jesus. He will change that destiny of sickness to destiny of good health in the name of Jesus. He will change that destiny of ignorance to divine wisdom in Jesus' name. He will change that destiny of loneliness to companionship in the name of Jesus. The destiny changer doesn't need your permission to change your destiny. Because his plans towards you, they're good. They're not evil. They're to bring you to an expected end. The destiny changer is interested in showing forth his strength through your life. Your destiny changer is interested in locating you in the midst of whatever is going on and say, you, I'll make you a showpiece. God's favor is going to make a showpiece of somebody in this season in the name of Jesus. Now look at the book of Luke, chapter 5, from verse 17 to 26. Can somebody please read this for me? Tokumo, Bisi, please. Luke chapter 5, from verse 17 to 26. Anybody? Nobody? Hallelujah. Go on. Praise the name of the Lord. The Bible opens up by telling us that it came to pass on a certain day, probably on a day like this, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the lawyers, the Jim Christians, and everybody was sitting down around Jesus. But the point in it is in verse 17. He said, the power of the Lord was present to do what? To heal them. Folks, the power of Christ to heal is available here today. Now, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the teachers of the law and everything were vast in the laws of God. As they were, there were those who woke up in the morning and God spoke to them and had coffee with them. There were those who knew what God liked and what God did not like. But now, God was present, as it were, in a bodily form with them, and the power to heal was available. But see, the real story here is the story of the paralyzed man. The man who received a healing in this story was paralyzed. Am I correct? Now, however, this paralyzed man had great friends. These great friends were destiny helpers. Say destiny helpers. We know Jesus Christ is a destiny changer. But this is friends who are destiny helpers. They took it upon themselves to take their friend to the destiny changer. Thank God for friends that come together to figure out how to elevate your life. The friends came together not just to talk about their friend's problem. They came together not just to talk about how they have advised their friend and he refused to take their advice. They came together not to discuss on how to abandon this their friend because he did not take their advice. They did not see their friend as a burden on them. Remember, he was paralyzed. Their faith in that their friend was entitled to be healed was demonstrated. They wanted to see the shame and the disgrace in their friend ended because of his paralysis. They wanted to move him from that financial dependency to the place of financial independence. They wanted him also to own stuff, just like they did. To live in his own land, not being dependent on other people all the time. They were interested in their friend's sorrow and mourning to flee away, and joy should be restored fully to their friend. They demonstrated their faith by their actions. Now, what did these people do? They came together and said, we're taking him to Jesus. When they were challenged by the crowd, because they could not get to Jesus, they knew Jesus, where Jesus was. You remember what they did? They went to a stranger's house, ripped the roof, and lowered Jesus, I mean the guy, in front of Jesus. They were more focused in helping their friend at any cost. Because he went to a stranger's house and tore his roof down. The guy would leave Jesus and say, my friend, that roof, I'll call 911 on you as a thief. But these guys were so desperate to heal their friend that they said, at any cost, we're going to take this guy to Jesus. Together, they lowered their friend into the presence of the destiny changer. Thank God for friends that come together to pray for you that your life may be better. Thank God for friends that come together not to highlight your predicament, your attitude, your wrongdoing, but they're more interested in life can be better for this person. They come together not to discuss with themselves, but to lift up their voice to Jesus and say, we need help for our friend. We can do nothing. You see, not everyone around you is your destiny helper. I'll say that again. Not everyone around you is your destiny helper. Just like that man at the pool, everybody had an issue. They were equally looking out for themselves. Perhaps they listened to him. Perhaps they saw his problem. Perhaps they made promises of helping him and say, you know what, since you've been here for 12 years, I just got here. I'll make sure I push you by the pool. They made promises. But you know what? When the chips were down, they took little or no action to help the guy. It's not everybody that's around you that will help you. It's not everybody that's around you that will help you. It's not everybody that's around you that will help you. But you see, your destiny helper, and you can be a destiny helper for somebody, your destiny helper, when he sees you, hears of you, or even thinks about you concerning your situation that is not good enough, they do not sympathize with you. Rather, they empathize for or with you. Now, what's the difference between sympathy and empathy? Sympathy is recognize you have a problem and say, the devil has dealt with this person. God will help him, child. Empathy is saying something is wrong. We're going to do anything we have to do to make sure this problem is ended. The destiny helper of this paralyzed guy empathized with him, not sympathized. They didn't say, we'll be praying for you, and left him alone. They demonstrated their faith through the actions that they took. So whenever you think, whenever you see, whenever you hear about somebody and your heart is churning and say, no, it cannot, she cannot remain in this situation. What can I do to make life better? And you make a move to make the life better. You are a destiny helper. Destiny helpers will come together to find a solution and not leave you high and dry. Destiny helpers will stay with you and not abandon you when things are going southbound for you. Destiny helpers will find or make time to help you and not tell you when I have no time. Destiny helpers are never too busy to help you. You're a destiny helper when you find time to help your friend. But when you say, I don't have time, when I find time, when I get time, I'll do it, you're killing somebody. But when you're a true destiny helper, you create that time immediately to help to alleviate the problem of that person. Now, like I said, not everybody is a destiny helper to you. You are not a destiny helper to everybody, but how you know you're a destiny helper is the way you feel when you know there's something wrong with this person here. No, it's not for me to advise on what to do. I'm going to do something to see to it that his life is better. Remember, the guy who's paralyzed can do nothing. He can't feed himself. Even when he poops, he doesn't know he's pooping. Someone has to clean him up and everything, and he's just down there wondering what has happened to me. But his friends were there as destiny helpers. Said, no, we will not forsake you. We will not give you up. We don't care about your attitude of pooping on yourself. We don't care the attitude of you drooling on yourself. All we care about is that there is a destiny changer that can help you, and will do anything at any cost to elevate you from that situation you find yourself. They understood that they were the light of the world, a city that set upon the hill that cannot be hid. They understood that for the whole concept of them being destiny helpers is for them to bring somebody to the place of the destiny changers. Are you a destiny helper? Jesus, does not need your permission to change your destiny. But he said unto you and I, occupy till I come. These things that I do, as long as you've done it to any of your brethren, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Jesus went out of his way to see to it that he would elevate or help other people to be better. He didn't ask them, how did you get into that thing? I told you not to do it. You didn't see what happened? No. Say, hey, you need help. I'm going to help you. After you've been helped, I'll talk to you later. The man at the pool. Jesus was not only a destiny changer, he was also a destiny helper. But these friends are the one I'm more particular about. They went out of their way to do what they had to do for their friend. They tore somebody's roof down. It will cost them money. They recognize that this guy is poor. He has nothing. But we're going to see through that we support him till he gets a job. We're going to make sure we create a business for him to run a business too, because we know he has the potential. We don't care if he talks too much or talks too little. We know there's a problem. I've often said to those who are close enough to me, if you see a problem, and you do not have a solution, keep quiet. Moreover, everyone might not see the problem. You might see the problem. It's because it's you God wants to use to solve the problem. And when you call, come, let's solve this problem. I say, no. Yeah, we don't see it. No, it's okay. It's you. Because you're in that position for a time like that to be the solution to that problem. I pray that destiny helpers shall arise in this place and take people to the place of the destiny changer indeed in the name of Jesus. Let me say this to the destiny helpers. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17 says, he that has pity upon the poor does what? Lends unto the Lord. He who is a destiny helper to any of his brethren is, as it were, lending unto the Lord. And he said, and that which he has given, will he pay him again? In other words, what you're lending out, God is saying, it shall come back to you. Pressed down, shaking together, and running over. He didn't say amen to that. It's a promise to those who are destiny helpers. Those who see that this is in need, I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to get other people and say, let's help this thing. Most of this problem. There's yet a promise as a roundup for destiny helpers. Because a destiny helper will allow the flow from the destiny changer of favor to come to whosoever that is there. Jesus saw the faith of his friends, of those people, because of what they did. Can Jesus see your faith based on your action? He saw what they did and said, I see your own faith. Not even the guy here, but you, I see your faith. You, your sins are forgiven. Of course, you know how it went on now. The Pharisees and Sadducees were discussing. Hey, do you know how he got there? Don't you know that he ate too much meat? He should have eaten fish instead. Why did he eat the pig? Hey, we're talking too much. Jesus said, if you don't understand, that you may know that not only can he be forgiven, my friend, get up, arise, walk, go home. And the guy carried his mat and began to rejoice. He will do something in your life that will cause a commotion of joy in the name of Jesus. If they won't dance for you, suddenly you become a dancer. And you dance so much, they will form a new dance style because of your dance. In the name of Jesus. In other words, I'm saying the kind of, you know, sometimes it's because it has not hit you. When I say dance, you say, I can't dance, just doing something like that. When it hits you, like color, it's because you know what you're dancing for. Yeah, he dances. That's not embarrassing. Anytime he dances, we're all looking at him, man, this guy is too happy. He has problems though. But he can dance. And the Lord will turn that problem to joy for you in Jesus' name. So the whole concept is like you need to make that flow of favor from the destiny changer as you as a destiny helper to the person that is in need. Don't talk about the person. Do something. For those who are destiny helpers, this is a promise of God to you. There's seven promises that comes to you, and I want you to take note of it. Psalm 41 from verse 1 to 3. Psalm 41 from verse 1 to 3. It says, blessed is he or she that considers who? The poor. Number one, the Lord will deliver him or her in the time of what? Trouble. That's number one. If you just consider the poor, if you lend unto the poor, you lend unto the person who's paralyzed, you lend unto the person that has not, without discussing and thinking too much. He said, the Lord will deliver you. You deliver somebody else out of trouble. But God said, it is me, myself, I, that will deliver you, not somebody else. Can you think about that exchange? I don't mind man delivering me, but if God delivers you, even the one you didn't know was there, you are still delivered. I hope you understand. God said, because you are a destiny helper, he said, when you're in trouble, I will deliver you. That's one. Number two, the Lord will do what? Preserve. The enemy will not steal from you. Even if he tries to steal, God said, I will preserve. You know what preserves means? You're not decaying. Your potential will not decrease. God will preserve. Number three, keep him alive. So what's number one? Deliver you in times of trouble. Number two, preserve you. Number three, keep you alive. You shall live and not die to declare the glory of the Almighty God. The gates of hell shall not prevail against you in Jesus' name. Number four, he said, and he shall bless him upon where? The earth. In other words, whatever you lay your hands upon shall be blessed indeed. You know part of the promise of God for us this year? He said, you will live where? In your own land. If God is saying, I will bless you because you just helped somebody and seven things are coming, that you bless one way, God blesses you seven ways, that's a good deal. I'll take that anytime. He now went on to say, number five. Is it number five now? Thou shalt not deliver him to the will of who? His enemies. Do you know what that means? Whether I like it or not, surely they will gather together against you. It's written in the Bible, Isaiah chapter 8. It said, but all those that gather together against you shall do what? Fall for your sake. So it's not that don't let them gather. They will gather. Don't worry. They will gather. Those who are your destiny helpers will gather together to discuss how to make you, to bring shame to your life. And they may succeed too. They will gather together to bring you down. Yeah, sure. That's their job. They're not your destiny helpers. They're your destiny destroyers. But they will not succeed. Because God said here that he will not deliver you to the will of your enemies. Number six, he said, the Lord will strengthen you upon the bed of languishing. You know what this means? When you're stressed out, the Lord will give you strength and courage. And finally, he will make all his bed in sickness. Now, this is not talking about you being healed, though. It's talking about when you are helpless. Your bed is a place of rest, right? God is saying when you are helpless and you're wondering, ha, my family is scattered, something's happening, God is taking care of that business for you. So while you're going through the valley of shadow of darkness, God is taking care of business. So by the time you turn around, you just realize that what I thought was lost is in place. And God is taking care of it for you. Once again, for those who are destiny helpers, God has seven promises for you when you remember who he has sent you to. Number one, what will he do? He will deliver you when? In times of trouble. Say that. He will deliver me in the times of trouble. Number two, he will preserve me. Come on. Number two, he will preserve me. Number three, he will keep me alive. Number four, he will bless me upon the earth. Number five, he will not deliver me to the will of my enemies. Number six, he will strengthen me in the bed of languishing. Number seven, he will make all my bed in my sickness. Is anybody here a destiny helper? Is anybody here a pipe to flow favor from God onto man? Is anybody here saying, I need a destiny changer in my life? Let us pray.